your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond.
Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. Super excited to welcome DJ Saul, CEO of Khalifa Kush. DJ, awesome having you on the show, man.
Hello, hello. Just getting my voice. My voice isn't that deep. I just thought it'd be funny to intro that way.
You've got all your equipment in the studio right now, too. You might as well use it, right?
I am borrowing my wife's podcast studio, which I've actually never used before because she obviously won't let me on the show because I have no talent. But it's a very fancy microphone. I have the lighting rig set up. I have like nice headphones for the first time in a while. It feels great.
Awesome. Well, listen, I'm really excited to have you on the show. And, you know, obviously you guys are doing some pretty wild and crazy stuff over at Khalifa. And for one, you've got a fantastic background. You literally have so many incredible achievements, you know, just kind of going back on your CV. You were the CEO and CMO of iStrategy Labs, which was acquired in 2016 by WPP. So congrats there.
Thank you. Thank you.
Also, kind of in the middle of that, you have so many other awesome things. You know, you're founding producer of DC Tech Meetup. And, you know, I read something in the fact that you literally helped that grow from nothing to over 20,000 members, which is awesome.
We copied the New York Tech Meetup in your neck of the woods, but, you know.
I remember that, yeah. And, you know, also a member of the World, you know, Economic Forum, Young Global Shapers. You're a member of Next Gen Venture Partners. You're an active angel investor. You're doing a lot, and now you're in the cannabis space. So
I'm in the cannabis space, and more importantly, I'm about 10 days out, plus or minus, from being a father of two, which is exciting and terrifying.
Congrats. Enjoy the quiet time while you have it now, right?
It's not that quiet now. We have a three-year-old, but yes, I will try and do that.
Okay, wow. So you know what? You had your trial already. So
that's right.
You know what you're doing.
Yeah. Sort of.
DJ, why don't you talk to us a little bit about how did you get introduced to the Khalifa Kush team?
Yeah. So as you mentioned, my former professional life here was, so that was all out on the East Coast, right? So I moved to LA just over 2 years ago and was taking a little bit of time off to figure out what I wanted to do next, obviously. I've been close with a lot of the folks in Wiz's universe for a long time, pretty much his entire, you know, very, very long and lengthy storied career at this point. So, you know, some of those folks were some of the first people that I caught back up with when I landed back here in LA. They're all obviously from Pittsburgh, right? That's Wiz and Taylor Gang and that whole universe, but a lot of them live out in LA. So, you know, I was catching up with them after ISL, that was the agency we sold to WPP. I had an inkling that I would, you know, maybe dabble in the cannabis space in some way, shape or form. I had invested in a farm in Southern Oregon, and this is, you know, 4 years ago at this point. Helped put an edibles partnership together, very, very much on the sidelines, but longtime cannabis user, grew up in Oregon for what it's worth. I'm a big believer and booster in the quality of Oregon's products in general, by the way. It's just part of my DNA at this point. Mm-hmm. So yeah, man, after a couple of conversations, there's an opportunity that popped up to come into KK full time, and I said yes in about 2.3 seconds.
Amazing. Yeah. So, you know, I know that Khalifa Kush was basically, it was initially created as a strain for Wiz, like back in like 2012.
Yep. Getting close to a decade here. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is crazy. Right?
Yeah, like, I know.
2012. And so that was really kind of tailored towards his very, you know, personal tastes and also with his like, you know, private stashes in LA.
Bingo.
So like, what was it like, it was obviously a personal passion project. And now you guys are like a world famous public facing cannabis brand.
Like, yeah, I mean, delete the word project, right? It was just an actual passion, right? Like, I mean, everybody refers to other folks now as, you know, weed connoisseurs and especially in the celebrity space now. But Wiz has it, man. He's had it forever. He always will have it. He's the guy. And that's, you know, obviously Snoop is Snoop. And there's other folks jumping in the space every day, and that's awesome. People are doing cool things, but there just truly are only a handful of other folks who can claim the authenticity and realness that Wiz can in the space. So, yeah, after years of you know, keeping it close to the chest here. First line technically came out with a, you know, limited release in Colorado in 2016, and then at scale in Nevada, and then across the Southwest from there. And then, flashing forward to, you know, recent history here, we just announced Gage as our partner over in Michigan. So we'll be launching later this year, which is super exciting. And then we haven't publicly announced anything yet beyond that, but we do have a few upcoming announcements that will have us finally on some shelves in 3-4 new markets end of this year, top of next, which is amazing.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, obviously market expansion is huge for you guys, and it's not so easy to do either. But you know, one of the things that I wanted to actually talk to you about today, you know, was, and this is something that we see all the time, there's so many celebrities who are now launching, you know, cannabis brands, right? It's like this trend that we've been seeing like the last, you know, 12 to 24 months. And, you know, obviously you guys have been doing this for a while. It's not like you guys just launched this yesterday.
For sure.
You know, maybe it'd be obviously our entire, you know, listener base, and we've got, you know, literally like 30,000 listeners to the show now. They're all in the cannabis space across the boards. So, you know, maybe you could throw out a few things like, you know, do's and don'ts on, you know, growing a successful venture, especially on the celebrity side. Like, I'm sure there's been a few things that people are like, uh-oh, that was not a good idea.
Of course. Yeah. You know? Of course. Yeah. I mean, and we, I think I even mentioned that, you know, a couple minutes ago, right? The fact that there are so many, you know, new entrants into the space and the celebrity, even the hip hop and rap scene, you know, every week at this point, right? So first and foremost, you hit the nail on the head with our head start, if we can call it that, right? The fact that, you know, the strain in Wiz's hands has, you know, been a thing for a decade now. That's real. The fact that we've been in market, you know, in the Southwest now for almost 5 years. We just extended our partnership with Trike. They have the Reef dispensaries and get us in a couple other, you know, select retail partners from there in Nevada and Arizona. And we just started rolling out in Utah. They've been an amazing partner for us. And that's already been a lengthy relationship. So yeah, we definitely are not new. We have, you know, big ambitious plans here in the coming months and years, like everybody else does. But that head start, I like to think, gives us a nice competitive advantage. Everyone's going to give some answer that circles around quality and quality first. Our focus is 1,000% on quality. We actually can deliver on that. It drives everything that we do, even down to our new packaging that hasn't even hit shelves yet. A lot of that obviously comes down to, you know, choosing who you work with and who's involved in every aspect of the supply chain. And if you're a, you know, new celebrity cannabis brand entrant, then that is more than half the battle, right? It's product, then who's actually going to be getting it on shelves, right? So being selective, hyper selective about who those folks are is everything. And then obviously standardizing SOPs across markets for the product itself, which is a challenge that arguably everybody faces right now, that drives the quality factor for the core product, right? So those are a lot of the do's. It's a lot of, you know, easy to say and suggest, hard to execute, like most things in life, but that's where I would start. Next, I mentioned authenticity early, right? So actually having a story that's real, that's authentic, that has meaning, that resonates with people. The fact that, I mean, for us, the fact that you're buying KK, you're literally getting your hands on a, you know, rare OG that Wiz himself smokes on the daily, that carries weight, that has meaning. That's not to say that you can't be successful by, you know, cultivating, you know, a popular strain that you feel like you can run with and people will buy and enjoy and love and share. That's cool too. But you know, consumers are also getting smarter and savvier every day and hungry, I think, for solid, consistent, powerful brands that they can actually trust, brands that resonate with real people. Wiz is, as I mentioned, he's insanely authentic and shows up in ways that are true to him and only in ways that are true to him. So that's not, and there's other celebrity brands that are, I think, doing a great job of that right out of the gate. Like Houseplant and Seth Rogen, I think they've done a nice job. They've checked a lot of those boxes as well, for sure. Right. And then there are others, I'm not going to name any names, where there's clearly a, you know, disassociation, a disconnect between the core celebrity and celebrity name and the folks that are actually on the ground. And Wiz, man, I mean, you know, we talk every few weeks. He's involved in most aspects of the business, maybe more than you might expect or assume that he would be. Of course, the product is itself, but core brand, content, even accessories and apparel, he's in the mix on. He just guest bud-tended in Vegas 3 weeks ago. Can actually at a Reef on the Strip, he can actually speak to the product, ask people what they're into, have real conversations with other stoners. Like he's got it.
So talk to us a little bit about the apparel line. So you guys are obviously you launched an apparel line for KK.
Yep.
What goes into that? What is the feedback you're getting from consumers? Like obviously people who love your products, they want to flaunt them too with what they're wearing, right?
Yeah. So we're, in all honesty, I mean, we're really just getting started with it. We just launched the line and just did the first drop, maybe 3, not even 4 months ago, and just did the second drop and then a one-off Vegas edition to, pair with his, some of his visits and guest bud tending that he just did a month ago. So it's still fairly early. Hilariously, one of our top selling items before you hit record, we're talking a little bit about the psychedelic space, right? One of our top selling items was literally a trippy tie-dye mushroom pastiche that says still shroomy on it, which is ironic as a cannabis company or unironic maybe, depending on how you think about it. But anyway, so it's been kind of fun to see what people are actually grabbing. But yeah, we're getting close to 500,000 followers on our Instagram, so we get solid engagement across the board. And obviously we, apparel's pretty easy to, an easy layup for a post that has no risk of getting dinged or flagged in any way, shape or form. So we do quite a bit of that and comment section's rich. So we get to scroll through every day and see what people are vibing on.
Love that. So from a product perspective, like what is, you personally, like what's your favorite product?
Yeah, I've gone through a few phases. First of all, for the core product and just consuming KK as flower, right? Which, and to be honest, more than half of our sales are smokables, right? So flower, pre-rolls followed by vapes, basically mirroring most market trends that you'll find with some market by market exceptions, obviously. But I was on a big flower kick. I personally was getting into vape life a bit and then went straight into like 3 months of only edibles. And now I'm back to rolling joints, which would make Wiz happy because that's his world. But yeah, gone through the cycles at this point in my life for sure.
It's kind of funny. We all kind of go through these patterns of I'm, moved over to vaping or, I'm taking an edible before going to bed or, I've always really enjoyed smoking, but I feel like the last year with COVID and everything, I've kind of avoided it.
Yeah.
One, because you don't, if you're with a friend or something, just not sharing.
For sure.
Passing a joint. But for me, I'm just an hour before bed, pop an indica edible and I'm literally on my phone answering emails and I get a little sleepy and I'm like, all
totally.
Right, I'm done.
I've been getting into the beverages, man. I mean, there's so many new ones. There's so many incredible ones out there. We're to reveal a sneak peek of one of the many things that we're working on right now. We're doing some cool testing and conversations on some beverage collabs.
I love that. Yeah. I feel like the year of the beverage is upon us without question. You definitely have that trend from consumers where they're like, you know what? I just don't want to be hungover again.
Yeah.
I actually had the worst hangover of my life about a month ago. My entire, in 43 years, the worst hangover. And I drank way too much tequila, but I promise.
Always tequila. It's always tequila.
And I love tequila, but I'm like, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah.
But that was
me 2 months ago, by the way. What was your recovery meal?
My recovery meal was pulled pork on a brioche.
Wow, good for you. Good for you.
I actually went to a breakfast. I was with some work colleagues in the city, and we were out to dinner, and we were at the Mets game, all this stuff. And, one thing led to another. It was way too much drinking. And I had a breakfast meeting the next morning with a friend I hadn't seen in months. I literally was like, I was on my way to the restaurant at 7:30 in the morning. And I was like, I need to cancel, but I haven't seen him. So I'm going to do it. And I texted him like, hey dude, can you just order me like toast and a sliced banana?
Yep.
And I got to the restaurant. I sat down. He's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I have the worst hangover of my life. And I was literally like trying to eat the toast. Like I was nibbling on it. So like, it was terrible. Like, he's like, what's wrong with you? Eat the toast. I'm like,
I can't.
And then he has a freaking platter of smoked salmon, eggs, a bagel, cheese.
Oh my God.
And I was like, Charlie, I'm so sorry. I've got to go.
Yeah. You can't, I can't look at smoked salmon.
No. I love smoked salmon, but not when you're so hungover. I had to go. I was staying in a hotel across the street. I literally went upstairs and puked for hours. It was horrible. Then I had to have my colleague drive my car back to the Hamptons because I'm like, I can't drive. And yeah. I can't do any calls. I was a waste of it. It was just a waste of a day.
Oh, man.
But anyway, I digress. The beverage market is definitely, it's going hot. Really
super exciting. Day. Oh, yeah, so, for sure.
I'm curious from you because I get this all the time too. Like you and I kind of have similar backgrounds, kind of, you know, tech agency life in our prior careers. But, you know, I get all the time from people who, you know, even from folks at WPP for that matter, like, wow, the cannabis space is obviously exploding and it's such a good place. But, you know, when I made the move, you know, almost 2 years ago, there was a lot of people that were like, oh, that's really risky. It's federally illegal, you know? So I'm curious what you get from kind of your old school days,
yeah.
of, you know, our friends.
I feel like, yeah, I mean, still get a little bit of that, right? But not nearly as much as even a couple years ago, to be honest. And that, I mean, anecdotally, like even telling my grandma, Bubby, telling Bubby that I was about to jump into the cannabis space. Yeah. If I had told her that up until like 3 years ago, I don't think she would have talked to me for a long time. She has two plants growing in her backyard in Beverly Hills.
Right. There you go. I smoked a joint with my grandmother actually when I was in college because she used to smoke cigarettes. And I'm like, Grandma, would you mind if I smoke a joint? She didn't care.
Amazing. You know?
Jewish grandmother from Cedarhurst, New York. Like,
Bubby Kush. We can start our own brand.
Exactly. But that was fun. But yeah, I feel like, you know, this year alone, you know, for so many cannabis companies, like it's been groundbreaking, right? It's just like we kind of forget it now, but during COVID, everyone's like, oh my God, cannabis is deemed essential. And everyone's now turning to it as this miracle opportunity, you know?
I wouldn't call that the inflection point because there were just so many other, you know, so many other things happening at the time, but
one of them.
If that wasn't an inflection point, it was damn near close by definition.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's been amazing this year just to see so many states, especially in our backyard on the East Coast, you know, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, just finally, you know, do what's right.
Oh yeah.
Right?
It's happening. It's happening fast.
It's great to see. So, well, listen, I think for one, you know, congrats on everything you guys are doing. Congrats to you and, you know, kind of being in the right place at the right time. And obviously a really fun job, no less, right?
Yeah.
You know, getting to do what you do. But
R&D is a lot more fun than it used to be, put it that way.
Exactly. That's pretty dope. You know, DJ, if you've listened to the show before, you know, we always kind of end the show with some quickfire questions that are totally unrelated to cannabis.
Lay it on me.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So, first question. What is the most unusual place that you've been?
Ooh, the most unusual place I've been. Probably the, in northwestern China, in the Xinjiang province. It's like the equivalent of the Pacific Northwest, geographically, more or less, where the Uyghur people live. So I went up basically as far as you can go to the intersection of Russia, Mongolia, and Kazakhstan with some kilometers in the middle, but imagine it's almost like a point there. And it's at like, I think we went up, it was like at 9,000 feet at one point on a plateau, and tying it back to cannabis, even though that wasn't the prompt, I smoked some crazy hash out of a gourd with a shaman, and you like dip the chopsticks in wax, wait for it to dry, and then you light those to spark the bowl. Anyways, it was a thing.
Yeah, that's definitely unusual. Okay. So I feel like you kind of have some history here, you know, between, you know, meetups, between, you know, running agencies. What's the most epic way you've seen someone either quit or I think this could be a really fun question.
Oh boy. Well, there's definitely a few come to mind, but I unfortunately have witnessed a few things there. So the one that comes to mind is probably, it's sad, but I'll say it anyways. I saw someone from across the room, basically realized that they were about to get let go by seeing a calendar invite pop up on someone else's computer while they were standing there.
Ooh,
yeah. So if the prompt was sad instead of epic, I feel like I nailed it with that answer. I'll probably think of something actually epic. And what's epic about getting fired? Nothing. It's epic, epic quitting, which I haven't seen a lot of, unfortunately. Yeah.
Well, that's definitely a sad one.
Yeah.
So what, do you do any like old person things? We all kind of have our quirks.
Man, this shouldn't be quote old, but I just started reading physical books again for the first time in a while. And also with parenthood also means I've been going to bed a bit earlier than I used to. So let me go ahead and paint you the picture of my first California winter, which obviously the, you know, 50 degrees here was tantamount to, you know, Arctic tundra of 10 degrees on the East Coast, because everything's relative.
Rough life over there.
Yeah. So here's me, you know, in bed at like 9:15 PM this last winter, with like a gravity blanket and a book. Again, that shouldn't be old. That should be, you know, millennials are all doing that these days. Listen, but
I'm definitely like in the camp of going to bed early these days, without a question. Now, reading books, I've tried. I can't.
Yeah.
I it's not even an ADD thing. It's just like I get a few pages in and I'm like, all right, I don't have You know, all my friends who are reading all these books all the time, I'm like, where do you have the time? I don't have the time to go pee. Like,
yeah,
where do you find the time? You know,
I need like the haptic response of like turning the page and like the ASMR of like the sound of the page turning. It's like, I can't do Kindles and iPads anymore.
It's a good sign. All right. Last question. Do you have your phone with you?
Always.
What's the last photo you took?
First of all, I love that question because I actually designed a physical board game that's predicated on the most recent things in your phone. So please don't steal that idea because I haven't published it yet. But the last photo in my phone is a screenshot of a dance tutorial, okay, from a startup that I was looking at called Steezy. And it's a online, you know, dance class, dance tutorial platform with some cool features.
Cool. I love it. Awesome. Well, these were fun. These were actually great, great answers. And every show we've just had, I think you're now our 104th guest.
Amazing.
So I got to like, you know, there's a lot of questions to try and not repeat.
That's right.
So I think just kind of come ad-libbing them is kind of the way to go.
Definitely. You nailed it.
So, but, you know, DJ Saul, so great to have you on the show and, you know, congrats on the expansion and, congrats on everything you guys are doing there. And, it's been awesome to jam with you. So thanks.
Amazing. Thanks so much for having me. Really, really, really appreciate the time.
Awesome.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.